630 Chad, this morning podcast with Stacey Brotzel and Daryl McIntyre.
7:06 here on your Monday morning. Oh, yeah. If my mom had a microphone, that's my childhood would have been hell.
What do you mean? I just said that she just asked to wear shorts, and I said no. And so I was just relaying the story in terms of what I think is appropriate wear.
And then you followed up with, no, Olive, you can't wear shorts today.
Well.
Explaining it to the world.
Well, she said it's going to be 17 degrees, and I said, well, you factor in the wind, it's going to be windy, and it's not going to feel like 17, so maybe you might not be comfortable. I want my kid to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And I don't want her to have regrets. So that as a mother, I'm guiding her in her way.
You're doing your job.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm publicly teaching her all about forecasts and wind chill and how that may factor in terms of your wardrobe choices.
It's like homeschooling before you go to school. You're amazing. Yeah. You're the best.
No, I'm not a great mom. I'm just doing the best I can.
Everybody's doing the best they can.
Yeah,
I agree.
For sure.
Absolutely.
We have been talking nonstop about what's going to happen in terms of our weather, in terms of what our wildfire forecast looks like and how bad it's going to be in terms of drought. Just the forecasts not looking good, but we are preparing.
Well, you know, we've seen it before.
Oh, yeah,
and
last year bad.
Know, could this end up being just an even worse year? I mean, very little snowpack, not an awful lot of spring moisture coming down. So it's dry out there, and we're already seeing wildfire impacts. Heck, we were having fire bans and warnings and advisories 3 weeks ago. We knew stuff was coming. And now, in some areas of the province, say, for example, in the Fort McMurray area, which has seen more than its fair share of fire trauma in the last few years, there is another area under alert because of a fire that's raging away.
Yeah, the residents of Sapre Creek Estates, they are on evacuation, I guess, alert. They have to be ready to evacuate on short notice. There is a fire in their area. They're being asked to make an emergency plan, pack a few things, at least for 72 hours. We spoke to a local resident, Trish Treffery. She says it's scary, but it's not surprising.
We've seen it coming, you know, they're talking about it on the, like, they're talking about it, and it's been dry a couple times since then, but yeah, we know it's 100%. We had no snow this year.
So the province, after such a devastating wildfire season last year, unprecedented, yeah. I know the premier said several times, the province is getting ready for it this year.
Yeah, well, Slave Lake just saw one smaller around Canyon Creek, but I mean, that was still, had a lot of people worried, so that was being held. And the traffic around Highway 2 by Slave Lake had been shut down for a little while, so that should be back to normal. But there's 66 wildfires already burning in the province of Alberta. So with the lack of moisture, there is drought issues here. There are drought issues in southern Alberta as well. Now, you'll get the massive grass fires. You don't have the bushfire problems. But, I mean, just the drought itself is going to cause more than enough trouble for southern Alberta.
So the province is making sure there's enough water to cover all of the needs here in the province, and they signed some water sharing agreements. What is a water sharing agreement? How does it work? What does it look like? We've contacted an expert.
Yeah.
Carrie Black, assistant professor in the U of C's School of Engineering, joins us on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just explain to us this agreement that has been reached and just what the intent is here. It's a water sharing agreement.
Yeah, so water sharing agreements, depending on where you live, what country, what province, they can look and feel a little bit different. What was announced on Friday are more collaborative agreements. And so these collaborative water sharing agreements are voluntary. They're designed to encourage people or users to use water in a different way, but they're not necessarily requirements. So the water sharing agreements that were announced on Friday, they'll be updated regularly and they'll be based on what science is telling us the water is going to do. But again, they're more of a collaborative understanding between water users.
It doesn't sound like that much of a deal then, as much as it is just like, oh, we agree there's a problem, so we're going to watch it too.
Well, you know, that's how things work sometimes. You know, we make an agreement that we're going to do things. When we're looking at the drought moving ahead, we know we need to make some big steps. This is one step towards that. But there are some concerns that it doesn't go far enough. It doesn't really have enough teeth to it to ensure that we're actually reducing water use. It's saying that we will if there's an issue. And so there's already recognition that there is an issue and we need to be a lot more proactive. That's what the general sentiment is. If we look, you know, internationally to examples like Australia, when it came time to making some big decisions, they did it, and they did it in ways that were enforceable and were and had requirements rather than just us agreeing that, you know, we're going to get along.
Has that ever happened in Alberta? Something with a bit of teeth?
No, Canada doesn't have great examples of water sharing agreements or water policies that do have teeth, because we've always lived in an area of an abundance. So we all have lots of water. It's never really been the issue that it's becoming right now. Certainly in other provinces, we've seen water use restrictions. Those are common practice if you live in places that are fire prone, like Kelowna and other parts of British Columbia. They're used to seeing water use restrictions every year at the same time of year. But in Alberta, this is quite new to a lot of people as well. So there's, as you go through big periods of change, you do have to get people prepared for the changes that are coming. And this is one step towards that.
You know, maybe I'm just bickering over terms. This is a water sharing agreement, not a water use agreement. So when I hear water sharing, that makes me wonder, you know, will Peter be robbed to pay Paul or something like that? Is there an actual sharing agreement within this context where, you know, somebody else needs some, you got to give it to them?
Yeah, and so that's the way that, you know, the province of Alberta works with water allocations and licenses, is that there's different level of licenses for who can use what water and how much. And so basically during times of drought, different people get less water based on what severity of drought that we're in. But because of the way that it's always operated, that hasn't necessarily given the right people the water when the time comes down to it. A good example would be many Indigenous communities in Alberta have junior water licenses. So in a time of drought, they're the first to have their water reduced, as opposed to industry or irrigation districts. And so there's an agreement that's made within this process, and the idea is that we'll all come to terms with what we're going to do. And the announcement on Friday was essentially that everyone has agreed that if things get bad, we're going to reduce our water. However, we already know things are going to be bad. So there's a big sentiment out there that we actually need to be reducing now, making the hard decisions now, instead of being reactive when the time comes. We need to be proactive right now. And there's an argument to be made that this is somewhat proactive towards that, but certainly there's a long way that we can go to really ensuring that we're protecting our water supplies that are already under threat. They're not going to be under threat. They are under threat.
So municipalities, irrigation districts, and industries signed memorandums of agreement. Are you know, farmers, those who irrigate their crops, and industry that uses a lot of water, are they ready to reduce their water consumption? Are they prepared?
I think the irrigation districts, and certainly industry, has had these discussions in the past. Irrigation districts have been having these discussions for quite a long time. They hear directly from farmers about what's happening on the ground. And this is not the first year that farmers have raised an alarm. They've raised it for quite a few years now. And that's why we're in such a dire situation. We've had year over year water issues. I think many people are prepared, but they are in areas, in more remote and rural areas. The people that aren't prepared are everyday Albertans who are not used to having water use restrictions, especially during the summer. We saw that last year when we had minor water use restrictions, and we saw people quite upset that, you know, we couldn't use it for a very short period of time in the summer. That's something that's going to need to change, and it's going to become quite a regular occurrence, I think, for many Albertans.
Carrie Black from the University of Calgary, before we let you go, a lot of this agreement is focused in on southern Alberta. Obviously, the drought situation there is worse. Is there any look at a deal in more central or northern Alberta, or what's our situation around our area?
Yeah, there's been discussions about, you know, how this might impact all parts of the province, but certainly the south has been the major focus of these discussions, because it's just a completely different context in the north, and our emergency response focus there is, as you were mentioning, a little bit more focused on wildfires. So there is discussion. Nothing has been necessarily released, but sorry, central Alberta has become more of a focus, and that's kind of shifting upwards. But right now, the major focus is central and southern Alberta.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lots of things to think about. Maybe let's not wash our driveways.
Well, you don't need to.
You know what I mean? We've been spoiled for so long. It's gonna take a while to change that mindset. We've been talking to Carrie Black, an assistant professor in the U of C's School of Engineering.